Amen. Good singing, folks. Praise God. December 25th. Amen.
Amen.
And so the new year is already here. It really is. You say, well, that's a week away. No, no, folks. It's how fast does a week go? How fast did last week go? It was like zing.
Faster than a week.
It's mighty strong to be that week. And so, anyhow. And it took a while. Y'all are catching on. Yeah. And so, as you know, we've been going through the kingdom or looking out at the kingdom of God because Jesus told, well, John the Baptizer came and he was preaching the kingdom of God. And he said that there is another one coming whose sandals, the latches of his sandals, he was not worthy to unloose. And he said, this one that's coming will baptize you with fire and the Holy Ghost, not many days from hence. And then Jesus came, and Jesus started preaching the kingdom of God. Then he gathered his 12 disciples, and he sent them out to the lost sheep of Israel. And he told them, go and preach the kingdom of God. Then later, when there were more of them, he sent them out and said, go and teach the kingdom of God. And as I was going through that and thinking about it a couple weeks ago when this idea came to my mind, we need to start learning about the kingdom of God, what it is, how it works. And then we learn some things that Jesus told the Pharisees, right? And I'm going over this again because this is how I start things. You got to back up. Kind of like those old cartoons where you back up and get your feet going before you take off. That's what's happening right now. Well, Jesus told the Pharisees who didn't believe that he was the Christ. In fact, they were asking about the kingdom to come. And Jesus told them, the kingdom is within you. Those who didn't believe the kingdom was within them, but it just wasn't activated. It wasn't alive. And then later, Paul wrote in Romans that the kingdom, what the kingdom really is righteousness. All right? It's peace. And it's joy in the Holy Spirit. So the kingdom that is within you has three aspects. All right? It's righteousness. Well, we had to look at what righteousness is. And I tell you what, we haven't even begun to scratch that one. But we know what righteousness is, not because of what I think it is, but because we have a standard, a rule book called the Bible. And the Bible tells you what is right. And it's not right necessarily to man's ideals, but it's always right to what God says righteousness is. And remember, God created all things. He created righteousness, and he created it within mankind good, right? But not all men are good. In fact, the Bible says that no man is good. The reason that no man is good, because sin came in and perverted, messed up the plan of God. And Satan implanted in humankind through the sin of Adam and Eve. All right, Eve ate, she was beguiled and she ate the fruit, but she offered it to Adam. Adam took it. And in that, these three sins against the kingdom of God became the kingdom of man. All right, and those three are the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, which go absolutely contradictory to righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. These two are contrary to one another. So the problem with a lot of things, the way that the world is going right now, is we as a people group, as human beings, have given over to the natural desires of the flesh. I.e., we call it Christmas. Have you ever seen a more decadent time of the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, and the lust of the flesh? All wrapped under a tree with pretty little balls on it. And I'm not here to kick around Christmas. Praise God. There was a day that was prophesied that a virgin shall give birth. Amen?
Amen.
That it would happen. And there came a day where Gabriel informed a young lady by the name of Mary that you are going to conceive. And what will be in you will be the Holy Ghost. It will be God, Jesus. Actually, Jesus means Savior. There's a prophecy in Isaiah that we'll start with, because this kind of wraps all of that up in a nice little bow in Isaiah. The first one that I talked about was Isaiah 7:14. You know, behold, a virgin shall give birth. But in Isaiah 9, in verse 6, it tells us this: for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called One, Wonderful. Amen? Amen? He's wonderful. The second thing he's called is Counselor. All right? And then the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government, all right? Kingdom is in there a little bit later. His ruling power, his government, his kingdom. The increase of his kingdom and peace, there shall be no end. Can I get a praise God on that? Amen. Even though in this darkest time that we understand in our history, this is a dark, dark time. But God, he has a power, he has a kingdom, he has a righteousness, he has a holiness, he has a peace. And if we have any problems, we have a Counselor. Amen. If we have any fear, we have a wondrous creator of all things that not only loves you, but has indwelt you, if you are born again, with his might, with his power, with the Holy Spirit to lead you and to guide you into all truth. Amen. So that is the government, his government and peace. There shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it. To order it, that doesn't mean to tell it what to do. Well, actually it does. It means to put back into order. When the new kingdom comes, when the kingdom that is within every human being by faith becomes real, there will be a kingdom that happens, a real physical kingdom where God Almighty, who was tempted in every way just like man, will come and he will sit on the throne. Right? And it will be real. It's right now, it is by faith we understand these things, but there's coming a day. Just as there came a day where Christ was born of Mary, there is coming a day that this will happen and that Jesus Christ will sit on the throne of God. And those who are the throne of David, his father, he is God, will come to the earth and he will rule and he will reign forever. Amen. It's not for 1,000 years. Well, I guess that's the beginning. But it is forever. It's a never-ending kingdom. It is a never-ending throne. It's a never-ending power. And he will come, and that's going to happen. I don't see it yet happening, but I know that inside of me there's a burning, there's a desire, there's a wanting it to happen. There's a faith that it's more than just me wanting it. I know it's going to happen. Because there are certain things he told us that we would see that were going to happen. And I know I talked to a lot of people, unbelievers, and they say, well, these things have been going on forever, you know. This is old news. You know, we've seen these things before. No, I don't think I have ever seen the whole world shut down because of the flu. The whole world shut down. Talk about a test run. To see if your engine's going to work. The prince of the power of the air said, let's try this thing, because we're coming to the end of what we call the kingdom of the earth is coming to an end, and pretty soon all of these kingdoms shall become the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's all going to be, the titles are going to be swapped over someday really soon. So what we need to do is test and see if it'll really work. Well, it'll really work. In fact, you go to Wegmans, how many folks are still wearing a mask? You know, I've not been to Wegmans since before the flu came. But my wife tells me, and some other brothers there say, I can't believe people are wearing masks. You know, I can't believe that folks are going to die and go to hell because they're trusting science and not the Word of God. All right,
yeah,
there's the thing that gets me. There's going to be people that are trusting the science all the way to hell. And that, again, this is not what the sermon's about, but this is just what's, you unplug it, this is what flows, right? And so, anyhow, we know that there are two kingdoms, that there is a kingdom that is granted to every human being, all right?
It is that very spark that happens when a man and a woman copulate, and that first time that the seed enters the egg, there's an igniting. You know that? That there's a real spark. It happens. It's real life. It really happens. It's zap. There's a life that happens. That is the beginning of the light of the kingdom of human beings. The kingdom of God within a human being. But it lies dormant from the womb until the rebirth. Until you get born again. See, that kingdom was within the Pharisees, and within the Sadducees, and within everybody who doesn't truly trust Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. The kingdom's still there. It's just not ignited. It's like having a stick of dynamite and a fuse. It's just not lit. But there comes a day, and there comes a day that God will touch your fuse with the power to open up your understanding to the higher, the deeper, the greater things of God. If you really want it, it's there. If you'll seek Him, you'll find Him. But you got to seek Him with how much of your heart?
All of it.
You gotta want it like your my sister right here. She runs marathons. She runs really far distances for fun. Well, you don't just wake up like today. I'm gonna go out and run me a marathon. Well, I haven't stretched. I haven't ran from the car to the door unless it's raining, right? That's like not even enough to start. I could not run a marathon. I couldn't run 100 yards. I would rather stand and fight anyhow, but I couldn't do it. All right, I'd run out of breath. But she had jumped. If she wanted to, she could go out of this building right now and run all the way to her house and all the way back and barely be out of breath. You know why? She conditioned herself to do it. You want to enter the kingdom of God? You need to condition the kingdom of God that already exists within you. You got to train for it. You got to pray about it. You got to work righteousness out in your life. You got to strive for peace. I don't need the peace of the world. You know what I need? I need the peace of the knowledge of the Holy Spirit of God that dwelleth within me to be ignited, that I can even see the kingdom of God. Turn, if you will, to John chapter 3 in your Bibles. Say amen when you get there. Hey, in my Bible, you know what the number is? 1611. This must be a good Bible. Like a King James Bible. And so, Jesus talking to a man who should have known. He was a Pharisee. His name was Nicodemus. And he says, and I'll just start in verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. All right, catch the scene here. All right, Nick at night, ruler, knows a lot of stuff. Very learned man. All right, he knows how to write, when to write. He knows all of the things of the time. He knows science. Jesus ignores what he says. I love that about Jesus, because he's saying, hey, you must be sent from God because you're doing stuff. That's what Nicky says. And Jesus says, He says, truthfully, verily, verily, meaning truthfully, truthfully, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. All right, Nick, the seed is in you. All right, the seed's in you. But unless you can't even understand the miracles, you're seeing the effects of the miracles, but you're not seeing the power of the kingdom of God that's causing these miracles to happen. So what you need first, Nick, is you need to be born again. You must know that the kingdom is within you, but it needs to be ignited. It needs to be caught on fire. You need to have faith. Not just because of the works that I'm doing, not just because of the miracles that you're seeing, but have faith that God has come in the flesh and He is present with you at this very minute. That takes faith. That takes an understanding. That takes a vision that goes beyond what you can see with your physical eyes, that you must see through your spiritual eyes. Because my physical can only see that the crippled man walked, can only see that the blind man got his eyesight, can only see that the deaf man could hear, that the leper was cleansed. That's all I can see. But the power behind that is where Jesus said, I only do what I see the Father doing. I only do what the kingdom of God is directing me into. And the effects of that, the world can see. Church, the effects that you do, the world will see. And they will ask, you must be a godly person. Well, wait a second. You may say that about me, but before you can really see it, you've got to be born again. You must be born again, or you cannot even see the kingdom of God. You want to unleash the power of the Most High God that's already inside of you? Trust Jesus Christ as the Savior of the world, of the bearer of your sin, as God dying on the cross and rising again, and with the promise that he's coming again with his kingdom. All right? Understand that. And unless you're born again, you can't wrap your mind around it because you're caught up in only seeing the physical of the things and not the spiritual of the things. Right. The spiritual realm is more real and more effective than anything of this present life that you're living. Amen. And there's a great reward in that. He says you must be born again or you cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nick, still stuck in the physical, Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter in the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus said, answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. Folks, I want you to know, you must be born again. You can read this book until your eyes fall out. If you are not born again, you cannot see the depths of it. And you can trust in me preaching, but unless you are born again, you will never be alive in the kingdom of God. And although the kingdom is within you, it's not ignited in you because it's still lying dormant. It's like kinetic energy. It's there and it's ready to be released, but you need an explosion. You need something to activate it. That what activates it is faith. You must believe that God is and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So it starts out with believing that God is, that this thing that is within me that desires to worship is indeed the kingdom of God wanting to be born like a chick, wanting to come out of its egg in due season, in its due time, or a caterpillar wanting to be become the butterfly and it's breaking out of its cocoon. And it wants to come out. It's trying to come out. It desires to come out. But you got to work to get it out. The kingdom's in you, but you got to work it out. You got to trust the word of God way above anything that you can do. So there's a physical kingdom and there's a spiritual kingdom. The physical kingdom is, there's a physical and a spiritual kingdom. The throne of David and his Christ is the kingdom of God. In this time of the birth of Christ in Luke chapter 1, verses 30 through 33, the angel said unto her, speaking of Mary, fear not, Mary. I guess I could have read the next three words there and you would have known who I was talking about. The angel, we'll find out later that this is Gabriel. The angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shalt call his name Jesus. Right. Gotta love that name. This is the name that every knee's gonna bow to, every tongue's gonna confess, whether you're a believer or not, whether you're born again or not. When you die on that day of judgment, I will guarantee you nobody will be on their feet and saying, I sure got one thing to ask you about, Jesus. No, you won't. Your knee is gonna bow, and even if you do not believe that he is God now, when you see him in his glory, you will say, that's God. Everything I ever believed was wrong, and now I'm condemned to hell because I didn't believe that the kingdom was within me, the ticket, the golden ticket
of heaven, of righteousness, of the life forever was actually within inside of me. And I just refused to allow it to grow. But there's coming a day that every knee is going to bow. That name Jesus, it means salvation in its root, but it also means a rescue or a deliverer. So Jesus, the name actually means to deliver. The name actually means to rescue. It actually is the Savior. Who here needs to be rescued?
Amen?
Amen? You better trust in Jesus Christ. Amen? If you need to be delivered from the thing that so easily beset you today, your sin, your own righteousness, your own self, and that's who you've got to be saved from is you. Because the only thing stopping the kingdom from coming alive inside of you is you. You're believing what you see more than what the Word of God tells you. You're believing the science. And like I said at the beginning of this, you can believe the science until you go to hell, because that's where you will end up. The righteous live by faith and not by sight. I do not believe the government of this world is going to help me. They're not here to help. They're not designed to help. I don't believe, and praise God for the, there are some good things in science. I mean, there really is. The combustible engine. I like to drive. You know, it sure beats walking. But Jesus did a lot on his feet. He walked a lot of miles. He did a lot of stuff. He was indeed the hands and the feet of God while he was on this earth. He didn't have a combustible engine. But it was God. The disciples, I don't even know, Paul, you know. They covered a lot of land. Anyhow, the science is not all bad, but when you only trust in the science and not the Word of God. Well, actually, I think this is a good quote. Good science always goes in line with the Word of God.
That's right.
Because there is good science out there. There really is. So I don't want to poo-poo on science, because some of it's really good. But some of it is really poo-poo. You know, I mean, some of it is not worth eating, i.e., right? Believing, consuming.
Falsely so-called.
Amen? And so the angel talking to Jesus, talking to Mary, saying his name would be Jesus. He shall be great. Amen? Was Jesus not great?
Yes.
Is. Amen. Thank you. Yes, my brother. That's right. He is great. He's not was great. He is great. And shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord shall give to him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob. How long?
Forever.
Oh, forever. Wow. And his kingdom there shall be
no
end. Brothers and sisters, the kingdom of this world right here has an end date. Had a born on date, has an end on date.
Amen.
Jesus Christ was before time ever began, and he will be lasting long time after what we call time ends. Now, there will be time in the kingdom, all right? But I don't think we'll understand it the way that we do right now. But to enter into that kingdom, you must believe that that kingdom is alive and living and well and active while you're still here. While you're still in your chrysalis, while you're still in your cocoon, while you're still in the egg. I have faith that outside of this shell, that there is a greater, wider, more wonderful, more brilliant life, more a greater kingdom to come than the kingdom that we have right now. So if there's anything in my life, in my understanding, that might stop me or apprehend my mind from entering into the kingdom that is to come, guess what needs to die? Whatever that is. And I'm going to leave that open because it will be different for each and every one of us. But we must believe by faith that there is a kingdom that's coming and is far greater than anything of this earth. Anything that this world can provide. Oh, I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather have him than riches untold, right? He's greater. He's fairer. The kingdom that is within you must become illuminated by the indwelling power of the Holy Ghost. See,
No amount of my speaking to you will do it unless you believe it. And it's not my words that you need to believe. You need to check my words, right, Josh? You need to check my words with the word. Because if my words don't line up with the King James Bible, they are wrong. Okay? Amen. Yeah. And if I ever start teaching anything outside of the confines of that word, please. Well, first, come to me lovingly and try to correct me. All right. And if I cannot be corrected, then leave. Leave me alone. Standing here by myself every Sunday. Right? And I say that with great fear because I fear God. And being a handler of His word for you, His people, there's great fear and trepidation as I go through the scriptures and study to help the kingdom expand in your heart and in your mind. Because that's really what it's all about. It's not what I know. It's what the kingdom of God has in you. Jesus taught us to pray, right, in Matthew 10, or 6. 6 and 10, not 10 and 6, 6 and 10, where he said, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." How many learned that as on earth? New King James, it was on earth. It's not on earth, it's in earth. There's a difference between on and in, right? Food in you or food on you? Which is going to help you? Right? The cookie that I ate, I put in me, that was so good. If I would have just took that cookie and smeared it on me, not nearly as satisfying. So this is Christmas, and this is what we've done. That kingdom that's coming, that kingdom of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost, has to be more in our hearts, in our minds, or in actually, well, like Jesus said, you can't even understand it unless you're born again, right? So the first step that you must take is understanding that He is God and that He loves you and that there is a kingdom, a physical kingdom coming for the spiritual understanding of the kingdom that I have. I have a spiritual awakening through the power of the Holy Ghost that as I surrendered, understand what I'm saying here. I surrendered my life to His righteousness. I didn't take His righteousness and add it to my kingship. I gave up my kingdom. I'm no longer a king. I am blessed to be a servant in the household of God. It's no longer my will that makes any difference. And if I follow my will, I know because the scripture says if I follow my flesh, I have ruined, well, not ruined, I've definitely hampered the working of the Holy, grieved the Holy Spirit. And do you know that you can grieve the Holy Spirit of God until He never speaks to you again? Do you understand that? Who here has had relationships and they hurt you, they hurt you, and they hurt you, and they hurt you, and you finally say, "Listen, I ain't doing that no more." Right? How much more the Holy Ghost? How much more this indwelling Spirit of God that wants you to have righteousness, that wants you to have holiness, that wants to share the kingdom of God to you? And you say, "Well, you know, it all sounds good, God, but I prefer, I don't know, my sporting event. I prefer my car. I prefer my this. I prefer my that. I would rather do what I want to do instead of what you want me to do." God says, "But wait, I love you." And you say, "Don't worry about it. Go ahead, God. You do what you do. I'm going to do what I do. And what I do, I want you to bless." All right. Now, wait a second. If you're doing things outside of the righteousness of God, how in the world do you, how in heaven you expect the kingdom of God to even become alive in you? Think about a fire, you've got to stoke it. Amen? Right? Anybody here have a fireplace? Right? And wood stove? Fireplace, wood stove, campfire? Will that not burn out? Amen? Unless you put more wood on it? Well, where do you get wood? Well, for the spiritual wood, you get it from the Word of God. You get it from believing what the Word of God says, holding to the righteousness of God and not the righteousness of man, knowing by faith that there's coming a day that there will be His kingdom on the earth, and He's calling people into that place. It would be known as the marriage supper of the Lord. That's when the kingdom comes, amen? When the table is prepared and it comes down. We have this account in a parable in Matthew chapter 22. We have the account again in Revelation chapter 19. Okay? Y'all have already unwrapped your gifts, right? The reason I'm asking is I'm about to start reading Matthew 22 and Revelation 19. It's 12 o'clock. I crack this egg open. You're going to be here for a little while. We're going to be here because there's a lot to understand, but I think I need to. And so when Jesus answered and spake, and said unto him, this is Matthew 22 and 1. I'm going to read the whole chapter. Amen. Best way to read it, isn't it? From beginning to the end. All right. The kingdom of heaven is like a certain king which made a marriage for his son and sent forth the servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. I said I wasn't going to say anything. I know people in my life that the Holy Spirit, that the Father has called them by name and said, come to me. I love you. Let me bless you. Let me work in your life. I want to show you the goodness of God. And they say, nah, I've got other things to do. I would love to come to the wedding feast, but you know, I've got things. I'll just leave it at that. Things, other things. Anyhow. And again, he sent forth other servants telling them, which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen, my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come into the marriage. That's the offer of salvation right now. He's speaking to you, saying, come in, come in. Do you really want the kingdom of God? I've prepared everything. Jesus was the preparation, the Lamb of God. He's prepared. He's ready. He will take you. But they made light of it. I can't tell you how many people that I know and love laugh at me when I tell them about the kingdom of God. They make light of it. Oh, what if it's this way? What if it's that way? Wait a second. It doesn't matter. It's not this way or that way. It is the way. The truth, the light. No man goes to the kingdom, goes to the Father, but through Jesus Christ. You can't get there any other way. They made light of it and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. How many Christians you know that are treated spitefully only because they love the lost? Right? We hear about it in India. We see it in America, you know? And anyhow, and they slew him. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth. That means mad. He was wroth, and he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. Then he said to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, as many as ye shall find, bid them to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways, and they gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good. All right? Now, I like that because you ain't got to get good to get into the kingdom. You ain't got to get good to get to the marriage. You only got to be clothed the right way. And you're clothed by faith, not by works. Amen. And to the wedding, it was furnished with guests. Then when the king came and he saw his guest, he saw that there was a man which had not on a wedding garment. He was there. He was welcome. He could have come, but he didn't dress for the party. He didn't put on the Holy Ghost. He didn't walk by faith. He only did it with what he could see in the physical world. And then he said unto him, friend, that's the king coming to the guy. And he says, friend, how comest thou hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. There's why I go, those folks who say, I'm going to come before God and I'm going to say I do this. What would you, God, I got questions for you. You're going to be speechless. You ain't got a word to say. And so, then the king said to his servants, bind him hand and foot, take him away, and cast him into the utter darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. Many are called, but few are chosen. Some of you may be hearing the Holy Spirit speaking to you right now, saying, I want you to trust me enough to die to yourself. I want you to trust me enough to enter into the kingdom, to enjoy the wedding feast. I want you to do that. And you're saying, yeah, no. Ha, that preacher, he's crazy. He doesn't know what he's talking about. Well, maybe your faith isn't growing because you're not hearing the word of God enough. You come to church. Some folks come to church. Galen, what do you call? They come to church twice. John told me the other day.
Christmas Easter.
And so,
Chino.
Chino. Yeah. Chino Christians. Chino. And so, tell me the definition again.
Christians in name only.
They claim they're Chinos, like rhinos, right? They're Republicans in name only. They're Christian in name only. They say that they're in Christ, but they're really not in Christ. How do you know they're not in Christ? Well, check out their fruit. Mm-hmm. Are they doing things that are unrighteous, not to me, but to God? All right? Not unrighteous in my mindset, but in what the Word of God says is righteous. And you say, well, you can't believe that. That's an ancient book. Well, you're going to be judged by that ancient book. You're going to stand before Jesus? Well, no, you won't. You will kneel before Jesus Christ, and you either believed by faith the ancient book, or you will not believe by rebellion from the ancient book, and you will be cast out where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. That same account can be found in the Revelation chapter 19. If you want to go there, it's 19:6-9. 7:6-9. And so the marriage supper in the kingdom, it brought to me to mind Revelation 6-9, but for some reason I only have 7 written down here. So I'm in the Revelation.
Which chapter?
Chapter 6. Chapter 19, verse 6.
Thank you, brother.
Because I will say it backwards because that's what I do. You know, so 19 and verse 6, and I ought to read the whole thing. Amen?
Amen.
We ought to read the whole thing because Amen. If I only start in the middle here, you might miss the greater part of this because it's all about the kingdom and the wedding and you being there on the right side of God. Right? And after these things, I heard a voice of much people. Amen. There's a whole bunch of us. A much people. In heaven, saying, Hallelujah, Hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto our Lord God. For true and righteous are his judgments. Oh, righteous. Remember the first part of the kingdom? Righteousness. Righteous are his judgments. For he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. Don't you know the world's going to kill you?
Yep.
Believing in what you see, trusting this world system, it is God calls it a whore.
Increasingly more so.
Amen.
Yep.
And those who are born again looking for the kingdom, we're seeing more and more of the whoredoms being advertised, being brought up, being thrown in our face. And my spirit is vexed because the whoredoms of America, the whoredoms of the church. We are worshiping idols. And since this is December 25th, I could go on a rant. Do your homework. All right? That way I ain't got to rant it. You can study it for yourself. If you have the Holy Spirit in you, check it out. Look at the origins of December 25th. All right? Not Christmas, but December 25th. And again, I'm sorry, I'm on my soapbox here. Christmas for the Christian ought to be every single day that you entered into the kingdom.
Amen.
From the first time that you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, that was Christ's day in you. And every day you ought to celebrate that by righteousness, by peace, by joy in the Holy Spirit. Because you are part of a kingdom. Amen? It's not about December 25th. And okay, I said I wasn't going to go there. I'm not going to go there. Let's get back to the Word of God. Amen? Because we can get sidetracked into that pretty simple. He judged the great whore, this is verse 2, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Alleluia. And her smoke rose up, that's the whore, her smoke rose up forever and ever. So as long as the kingdom's going to reign, the ungodly kingdom's going to be judged. Right? The whore of the earth is going to be judged as long as God himself reigns. Forever and ever means for ever and ever, right? So as long as one's going, the other side's going also. All right? And a voice came up to the throne saying, praise our God, all ye his what's that word?
Servants.
Well, I'd love to come to church, but I would rather serve the world than to serve God. Well, you're going to serve the whore rather than the king. I would love to worship God, but I would rather do what I want to do. I would rather do what the world tells me to do. I would rather follow the education system than to follow God. Folks, I tell you, those who believe that are in grave danger. They might be at the wedding supper and find out that they're not even dressed. I wasn't even thinking about this, but it does make sense what I'm about ready to say. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 20 and following, not everyone who comes, who says, Lord, Lord, that's what Jesus said. This is Jesus' words. Not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of God. There will be a lot on that day that will say, I love you, I trust you, but I would rather play video games. I love you, I trust you, but I would rather watch sporting events. I love you, I trust you, but I'd rather go to the bars on Saturday night instead of coming to church on Sunday morning. I love you, I trust you, I said the prayer. Jesus says, get away from me, I never knew you, you workers of iniquity. So the whole thing goes, not everyone who comes to me on that day saying, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, not everyone who says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter in, but he that doeth the will. For they will come to me on that day saying, Lord, didn't we prophesy, preach? He's talking to preachers. Didn't we preach in thy name? Didn't we do many miracles in thy name? Didn't we do wonderful works in thy name? And Jesus says, I never knew you. You never entered into the kingdom. Did you play the game? Did you wear the uniform? Yeah, but you didn't change your heart. You never really trusted me. You never really wanted me. You wanted the stinking whore of Babylon more than you wanted the riches of God and his kingdom. A lot of Christians, a lot of people who call themselves Christians, go to church every Sunday, are going to come before God on that day, and he's going to say, I never knew you. And guess where he throws them to? Where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Kind of sounds like the one who came to the wedding supper without his garment. Without the kingdom of God richly dwelling in them. Why? Because they never entered the fight. People, if you want this, you got to fight for it. You know what I got to fight? Galatians. There are several scriptures that ran across my mind, but Galatians is the one that came to me. I think y'all know where I'm going. Mm-hmm. Amen? Give me the address. Oh, I know it. Chapter 5 and verse 1. Amen. We'll start with 1. Because why not? We're doing everything from the beginning. This is the first of the year, people. This is already January. I'm looking for 2024. Right? I think I jumped a whole year, didn't I? Yeah. It's exciting the way that God's moving forward. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Oh, man, we could pray for a month right there. Did you see what he said? Stand. Stand. So when the kingdom of this world comes against me, it will not knock me over. Why? Because I'm going to stand. I'm not going to stand in my power. I'm going to stand in the power of his might, his grace, his goodness, his kingdom, his righteousness. I can defeat the power of the whore of this world through the power of God. For greater is he within me than he who is of the world or in the world. Amen. Man, that will preach. Are y'all asleep yet?
No.
Amen.
Not even there.
Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. If you follow the law, it doesn't matter. Right? For I testify again, everyone that is circumcised, he that is a debtor to do the whole law. I cannot do the whole law. I was born a sinner. I broke the law of the time. Before I even came out of the womb, I was already a sinner. All those little babies that you say, oh, they're so sweet and innocent. No, they ain't. They are not innocent. They might be sweet, right? I don't know. I've smelled some of those diapers. They ain't too sweet. Sorry. Anyhow. But we always think that, well, that baby, he's so innocent. No, he isn't. 3 o'clock in the morning, he's screaming to be fed. He doesn't care whether you're tired. You just worked a 12-hour day. That baby don't care. He has no compassion for you, does not care about you at all. Amen? I don't know. That's what I thought when I was getting up and feeding him. Man, you little rat, you don't care about me. I've got to go to work in 4 hours. Stick a bottle in it. Talk sweet to it. Love it. Amen? Because that's what God does to us. We wake him up in the middle of the night with our little wham-whams. He just sticks a bottle in it. You know, loves us. Changes your diaper. Gets you calmed down. Anyhow, jump off that saddle right there. For I testify to you, every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. Ooh. Did you hear what Paul just said? You have fallen from grace if you try to keep your salvation through the works of the law. You can't do it. So, we, through the Holy Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. What are we waiting for? The kingdom. I'm waiting for the righteousness. I'm waiting for the marriage supper of the Lamb. I'm waiting and I'm doing the things I must do in the Word of God. And we'll get to that here in an hour or two if the Lord lets us. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith that worketh by love. You did run well. Who hindered you? Oh, praise God. Who is in your way from running the race? You are. You are. The only one who's stopping you from entering the kingdom, running the race, is you, brother Ben. It's you. The only one who's keeping you from church on Sunday is you. The only one who's keeping you from reading your Bible is you. The only one who's stopping you from believing fully what the Word of God says is you. Get out of your own way. Pull your head out of your derriere. Look for some fresh air. Stop looking at the disgusting things of this world and trusting in that. You did run well, but who hindered you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that called you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Oh, come on. Just a little bit of this thing that God told me not to do, and I'm going to leave it like that. Whatever it is, the righteousness of God told me not to do that. I'm just going to do a little of it. It'll corrupt you completely. You can't do just a little sin. I can't. Right? The chocolate and the cookies and stuff. The gluttony that I'm about ready to enter into, I'm not going to do just a little of it. I'm going to eat it all. Eat, amen? I know it's not right. It's not good for my body, but I want to die fat. Anyhow,
Sorry, I chased that too far. We're a little 11, 11 to 10. For I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his own judgment, whosoever he be. I like that. Nobody's going to stop me. Whoever's hindering me, it's his fault, not it's your fault. All right. What is hindering me from following the Spirit? My flesh is. My flesh will be judged. All right. As we get into it, and I, if I get preaching, preach circumcision. Why do I yet suffer persecution? There is the offense of the cross of cease. They were even cut off, which trouble you. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only do not use your liberty for an occasion for the flesh. For by love serve one another. For all the laws fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love your neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. They are contrary to one another, so that you cannot do the things which you would. But if led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Then he goes through the works of the flesh. Now, I guess, and after the envying and the murder in verse 21, because it goes through the works of the flesh, and I don't want to just hold it just to those things, because they're all just the seeds of deeper things, right? Although those are real stuff. But if you look at the whole Word of God, anything that we do outside of the righteousness, holiness of God is a work of the flesh. And we can boil it down to these three: lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Christmas. All right, December 25th. That is what it boils down to. All right? And it sounds horrible when I say that, because we have a tradition. We have a tradition of this being Christ's birthday, but we don't do anything for Christ. We only do stuff for our flesh, for the pride of our life. Right? Anyhow, envies, murders, drunkenness, verse 21, reveling and such alike, of which I've told you before, I have also told you in times past, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Those which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So can I be a drunkard or a fornicator and get to heaven?
No.
Amen. A murderer, envy, covetousness. Can I get to heaven that way? No. Uncleanness, lasciviousness, lewdness, all right, lasciviousness. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, wrath, strife, seditions, and heresies. Can I get to heaven doing any of those things?
No.
So why do we do them?
It's our sinful nature. It takes over.
You allow it to take over. Because if you walk in the Spirit, then if you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The problem is, brother, we ain't walking in the Spirit. We don't really believe that we might suffer eternal damnation because we do not trust the kingdom of God dwelling within you. You can only spit on the sidewalk so many times. Only laugh in the face of God about the kingdom so many times. You can only grieve the Spirit so many times before the Spirit will harden your heart. Pharaoh hardened his heart five times. Then God hardened his heart five times.
Just withdraws and lets you go.
Amen. You want your fleshly lust? You want that? You can have it. It doesn't change God. Doesn't change his righteousness, doesn't change his salvation. What it does is exclude you.
because you don't want the kingdom of God bad enough to fight for it. Now, who do I got to fight? I ain't got to fight the homosexual rights. I don't got to fight those people. I ain't got to fight the abortion people. You know who I got to fight? Standing right here in front of you.
Yourself.
Myself. I got to fight my flesh.
Yep.
I've got to be willing to enter into that fight with a veracity, with a violence. For until John, the kingdom is taken by violence, but the violent take it by force. So you got to want it bad enough to fight for it. So do you want the kingdom of God? Do you want eternal salvation?
It's up to you. Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord. This is Ephesians 6, 10, 11, 12 through 14. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against the spiritual wickedness in high places. Stand therefore. And then he goes on. There's a battle raging. There's a battle raging within us, or it ought to be raging. It's either, if it isn't raging, then you've already given into it. Right?
If there isn't a battle of God's holy kingdom fighting against the whore of Babylon, the whore of this world, the lust of your flesh, the lust of your eyes, and the pride of your life, if there isn't a battle, they're contrary to one another, if there's not a battle, I seriously would have you check your salvation. Because if it don't bother you, you ain't saved. If it's not a fight, you ain't saved.
And when the judgment comes, when the kingdom comes on earth as it is in heaven, you will find yourself on the wrong side of Christ. And you will be condemned to hell forever and ever with the whore of this world. You will go to the God whom you served. Plain and simple. Merry Christmas. I'm thinking actually, since this is December 25th on a Sunday, how many churches are actually closed? You know, well, we won't worship today because it's the pagan holiday. Anyhow, that's a different stone I'm not going to jump on today. I want you to know that the kingdom of God is available, but you got to want it bad enough to take it. You got to want it. It's there. I can't put it in you. I can't make you want it. You got to want it bad enough to do it. You got to want it bad enough to fight. Fight the good fight of faith. Anyhow, I love you. I said I was going to preach for an hour. It's 57 minutes. Close. By the time I pray, it'll be an hour. Dear Father, we thank you. And I thank you, Lord, that Emmanuel, God, did come. And Christ opened up the kingdom, Lord God, that we can know it. Lord Jesus, you came in the flesh, were tempted in every way, just like us, and yet without sin. Jesus, you are our great high priest. And Father, you're continually making intercession for us. Father, I pray that though we sin and come short of the kingdom of God, come short of the glory of God, we would confess our sin before you even now, because you are faithful and just to forgive us that sin. Lord, that you would open up in us a desire of the kingdom of God so real that it would be a burning sensation for the righteousness and the peace and joy in the Holy Spirit to come alive and encourage us to walk by faith and not by sight. Lord, I ask these things for this body that's here and for anybody who might hear this message over the airwaves. Lord, we thank you, we praise you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you.